This is Will's Band of the Week for June 28th, 2020. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hey, everybody. And welcome to Will's Band of the Week.
This is kind of unfair because you have your video on and I don't have mine on. I should turn mine on. I'm looking at a what looks like a log ceiling in wherever you are. Looks
right,
like logs,
yeah,
up there. It's really cool.
That's a traditional construction method here in New Mexico. They're called vigas, so they just put logs across, like adobe walls, and then logs across the top, and then boards on top to keep the rain from coming in.
Want one of those logs to fall on your head,
right? Exactly.
That'd be bad.
That would not be fun.
Hopefully they're secured well.
Yeah, and they kind of go all the way through the wall outside, and hopefully you don't hear the birds outside. There was actually a nest right out the window, and I'm sure they were they look like some endangered bird, but I killed them just so that they didn't make any noise for the podcast. So.
You got to do what you got to do. You know, it's international
priorities.
Podcast. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
So we prepared with our bands this week, but we didn't prepare any like organized recording. Right. I mean, we didn't talk about special features or, in fact, we didn't even know if we were going to have, we thought we might get one more podcaster, but we don't have another podcaster. Not that we need them, right? We don't need them, right?
Right. It's only two of us. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Better start wearing deodorant, I guess.
It's going to be kind of important that just about everything you say be very valuable and, you know, podcast worthy. So the pressure's on.
Yeah, we got to get up to a dollar's worth, right? Or almost a dollar's worth.
Almost zero. We got to, well, you,
or
yeah.
Zero.
Well, we aim for a whole dollar. That would be incredible. Yeah.
Exactly. So that'd be 100% more than any other of our podcasts, right?
Yeah. Today's drink is an iced anthology tea from, I hope Barrett doesn't get angry, because it's from his rival, Colectivo Coffee.
Now, see, this is a good way to know if Barrett actually listens to the podcast when he's not on it.
Yeah. So if he gets outraged, we'll know that he listened. We actually, Barrett's coffee shop is in one direction, and this Colectivo coffee shop is in the other direction. And then we have one that's like a block away. We're spoiled with the coffee shops around here.
That's nice. Yeah.
Utilize Barrett's coffee shop the most, of course, but sometimes some variety is good. So
definitely, yeah. I have a friend that just moved to Madison from Santa Fe, so I told him you better look Barrett up. Just spend some money, open your pocketbook, buddy.
And wow.
Then, what am I sponsored by today? I'm sponsored by LaCroix, I think. I mean, you know, you're getting old when you're drinking LaCroix in the afternoon, right?
Where is LaCroix bottled? For some reason, I associated that with the Midwest.
I don't know. What does it say? I can't barely read it. And then you know you're really getting old when you can't read the writing on the can. Right.
Right, exactly.
No, California.
All right. So LaCroix.
Hayward, California. So I thought it was a Middle Eastern thing too. A Middle Eastern Midwestern thing.
We've got a more local one called Klarbrun or Klarbrun. And that's a competition in our locality for LaCroix. So
right,
sure, it's cutthroat behind the scenes.
Just like put water in a can and charge double what gasoline costs, right?
Well, it's funny, isn't it, when you're at a convenience store and there's a you know, all those waters in the cooler, and sometimes you pick one up and it'll say something like source Dallas, Texas Municipal Water Supply. They actually say that.
Hopefully, at least they just filter it, at least, right? It's like,
yeah.
No, like chlorine and fluoride included. And you're like, oh, great. But a lot of them are just tap water. And so,
yeah.
Anyway, tap water is the best, anyway, I think. And less plastic bottles, the better. So,
as long as you're not in Flint, Michigan, or
right, exactly.
probably other places.
Right.
Probably more places
in
now.
Half the country that has
yeah, bad water. In the direction the country's been going, there are probably a lot more places with bad water.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Isn't 2020, is it? What a doozy, man. It's a serious, it's like, wow. I don't know. I'm almost starting to believe the half of my family's religious, end times and the Antichrist and all that stuff. Seems valid at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. We can only hope 2021 gets us back on track.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we can just, kind of shake it off, you know. Maybe you need something, a little fire here and there to kind of burn off the residue. So hopefully we can move forward in a positive way.
Yeah, hope so. Well, this week we have three bands lined up. We've got some podcast favorites. We've got some indie rock veterans. And we have a band that I never heard of until you told me about them about 5 days ago, which is pretty cool.
And awesome.
I still have not even read anything about them on any site or anything. I just found out about them from you, so it'll be fun talking about them. You'll be contributing to the indie rock stardom of this band for sure.
Yeah, so, I was hoping they would maybe like message us or something. I send each of the band's little notes, and one of them actually got back and said, yeah, I'd be happy to give you a little video or audio clip. But then I haven't heard a peep from them. So I'm sure that they looked on our Instagram and Twitter account and were so intimidated by our millions of followers that they were frozen in their tracks and they didn't know what to do.
That's probably what it was. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I tried that too. I tried that with Second Grade and didn't get a response. And I think maybe the real problem is you and I just don't have the charismatic magic of Nicholas. He has a way of getting responses.
Right, yeah. I guess we have to be from Melbourne or something.
I don't know how he does it.
We have to have like kids with cool names or something. That's to kind of like get the extra mojo.
Something like that, yeah. There's something in the air with Nicholas. There's a coolness that you just can't put into words. He has it, right?
Right, it's an aura.
Yep.
It's like it's like a little rainbow, like fuzzy rainbow that kind of just like follows him around.
Yeah. Well, should we start? Let's do our music talk. Should we do that?
Sure. Yeah, that's what we're here for, right?
Not yeah. So
about this,
I'm gonna call this first band podcast favorites because I think we've talked about just about everything that they've put out, and they're not quite indie rock veterans yet. But I'm talking about Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever, and they've got a new album called Sideways to New Italy, and there's a. It's funny, we're continuing the Melbourne streak, because this is also a Melbourne band. So
right, yeah, we can't get away from that. I mean, and just, yeah, it must be, again, that aura of Nicholas just pulls everyone's psychic powers to Melbourne. And so and these guys probably were like, you know, I bet Nicholas probably taught these guys how to play guitar while they were babysitting Fox, right? So like, these guys were trying to make extra money. At first, they were probably like delivering newspapers to Nicholas.
Right.
And then they just begged to like, can I be like your yard boy or like babysit your kids? And then in the meantime, he taught them how to play guitar.
Then they formed a band. And then when they knew they had hit it big was when they got invited to one of the cookouts in his backyard.
Exactly.
And that was like, okay, this is it. This is a real thing now.
Right.
So the other tie-in is that... last week we talked about the Stroppies, and I had to try to make myself sound cool by saying that I saw the Stroppies in Glasgow. Well, I also saw, my wife and I saw Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever in Glasgow last year. And,
wow, yeah. Productive trip.
And they're a little bit jangly, I guess, right? I don't know. Whatever I say about them is going to be proven wrong when we play the music, but they... they play at a pretty fast pace. And when they play live, they're like super kinetic. They just move around a lot. And especially if you're up close in a club, like they used to be able to do in rock and roll, right. which we were. It was just really an amazing energy and really cool. So, let's play a song and then we'll take it from there. So let's start with number three, She's There. Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever. And recognizing their name is really long, they sometimes abbreviate it, Rolling Blackouts, CF. I don't think I ever read about how they came up with the name. Have you?
No, I've actually never heard that story, so I'm not sure. But they're, like you said, they're very, kind of indie rock darlings at this point or in the last few years. So I'm sure there was probably high expectations for this album, which probably could be stressful possibly for them at times, but you were saying kind of that has a little bit of that jangle, it's a little bit, and I've heard people in articles compare them to the Go-Betweens or and then it was interesting, there was something new that I had heard of. They actually call this, or not this type of music, but kind of a line or similar to what's called dole wave. And it's like basically kind of that jangly sound, but also like a DIY. It comes from dole being like being on unemployment, like being on the dole. So dole waves.
Oh, okay. Because I've heard that like term and I didn't know what it meant. Yeah.
Hanging out and not working basically.
and
working on their art instead. And so that's like kind of, I think they, Eddie Current, and Courtney Barnett and some other people have been kind of like labeled with that. But came out in the last 10 years or something, that moniker. But so, so it's interesting. It's kind of like, it's also like much more like lyrics forward kind of, or vocals forward than a lot of rock, So, and it's interesting how there's like three different vocalists and songwriters. So that's kind of interesting as well. With most bands, a lot of times it's just one person singing or two people singing together in the same song, but not, each person having two or three songs on the album. So that's interesting. I really like that. And they're just so fun, right? I mean, just like fast, jaunty, bouncy. Some are more kind of slower and softer and introspective. like I think it's one of the later ones, Sunglasses or something. I think that out that song's more mellow. But and then of course you have such good taste, you picked my first choice.
So, we've been doing that a lot. I think last week everybody was picking. In the last couple of weeks, people have been picking what I would have picked. So,
right,
that's cool. It just means we're appropriately taste makers, right? That's what we're going to call ourselves.
Right. Yeah. we know what we like, and we have some similar. It's interesting because on the Will's band group, you know, a lot of it really there's a lot of real core of overlap, and then we all have our other little kind of offshoot, you know, tastes as well, which is kind of fun.
Right.
So this is really, I think it's a great album. And let's see, what were the first ones I think I heard on the radio was maybe that Cars in Space, I think number 6, but I think I'm going to choose number 7, Cameo.
I heard you talking. Your voice had an old melody like sweet river water. Back from the bathroom, moon in your head. Late revival, it was a short walk home. I take my time, I check my sides, my head revolving. My soul divides, my feet collide, I want to make amends. My sense was off, my knees were raw, my eyes were sweaty, my arms were heavy. A reappearing scent, a faded song, a vision on a river bank.
Yep. So like you were saying, that it's really interesting with the three different singers and songwriters, and they all, it seems like they're sort of individually written songs, but then the whole band kind of, they always have the team vocal thing going on, and sometimes they all three just sing the same thing at the same time for like a power vocal effect, you know? And
right, that's so cool. I would love to see them live, yeah.
Yeah, they're worthwhile to see. So 2021 at how am I blanking out on that really cool venue in Santa Fe?
Yeah, I wonder. Hopefully Meow Wolf will reopen.
Meow Wolf, that's it, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're hopefully they'll come play. That would be awesome. It's such a fun little space. It needs to be a little bit bigger, but they're kind of, you know, with this whole COVID thing, it's like, it's kind of an interactive art space. So it's basically the whole idea is to go around and touch everything. So that doesn't really lend itself well to a pandemic, you know?
Yeah.
And so, they were supposed to open a new one in Las Vegas this year. And then they're supposedly opening another one in Denver next year. So I'm fingers crossed that they'll kind of make it through this. But, cause that was our kind of best movie or, music venue for the last couple of years. So Yes, Rolling Blackouts, CF, come over.
Yep.
As soon as you can.
Well, let's play one more. The album is Sideways to New Italy. I think I'll go back. Usually you can't go wrong with track two, so let's go back to that one, Falling Thunder. There you have it, a sampling of the new album by Rolling Blackouts, Coastal Fever. Another thing we should probably mention, because we need to, usually you have to, I think, to be a good music reviewer, you got to talk about the bass, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Well, the bass player and the drummer for this band are really great. It's just constantly moving and really solid. And the drummer is, he's one of those fun guys to watch because he's just, the way that he moves, he kind of bounces.
And, there's a great bass line in that. I think it's a track five that has a really good fat kind of bass line that's really fun. And, it's amazing. This is their only second full length, right? There's two EPs before and then.
Yeah. Yep. It's all solid stuff though. I mean,
definitely.
Their output is very consistent. So, well, hopefully live music comes back, and because these guys, this is probably a good example, isn't it, where, you know, you were saying there was pressure on them, whatever, anticipation, but it's the kind of band that if there was still music touring going on, you'd imagine they'd be really doing really well. And I think they were booked for Primavera Sound and, I don't know, maybe some other festivals, and it's kind of a momentum killer, you know, to have this COVID thing hit, so... Hopefully they can pick up where they left off.
Exactly, yeah. And again, we should just remind everyone to go buy music because really with everything streaming and being so cheap, you know, they only get whatever, a fraction of a penny per play or something. And so,
right.
You know, and it's like, so then bands were really making their money touring and with merch and stuff. And so if they can't do that, then come on, people, go to Bandcamp and cough up some cash. Because these, you know, support these people so they don't turn into accountants, right?
Right. And Bandcamp's the way to go. Like almost every band that we talk about has their music on Bandcamp.
Mm-hmm, so, definitely.
Yeah, you can even get a Rolling Blackouts Coastal Fever shirt on Bandcamp. I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty cool. It's pretty minimalist. It says Rolling Blackouts CF. I might have to consider that, actually.
There you go.
I mean, that's a good...
I think most Fridays now, they're waiving the... Bandcamp fee. So I think Bandcamp gets maybe 15% or something.
Even, right.
I don't know if it's every Friday or if it's every other, but they've been sending me emails saying like buy on these days, and then the artist gets all the money. So
right, those
keep
promo,
your eyes open.
The promo days are ideal, but even when it's not, Bandcamp is a pretty good deal. Except they're only taking a 15% cut, so the band's getting most of the money. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yep. We could be sponsored by Bandcamp, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that how many times we've had to turn them down, but you know, maybe at some point we'd consider, right?
Hopefully they'll keep raising the offer. As right, we play hard to get, and they'll just keep making it higher and higher until we're owned by them, but they'll pay us handsomely, right?
Yeah, okay. we should pitch an idea for having like a, once the COVID thing gets done, like a Bandcamp like festival, right? There should be like a Bandcamp festival kind of somewhere really awesome out in the woods somewhere that's with a whole section for whatever, electronic music, a whole section for indie rock, a whole section for metal or whatever. It would be so fun. It's kind of like your Indie 500, right? That should just be sponsored by Bandcamp, right? The Bandcamp Will's Band of the Week, Will's Bandcamp of the Week, Indie 500.
That we could do that. Yeah. You know, the thing about Bandcamp though, I love Bandcamp, but whenever they do a compilation type thing or like a, you know, article best of Bandcamp for this month or whatever, I feel like I have a very narrow musical taste. Like I'm in this sort of indie rock zone of the stuff that we listen to and feature, and Bandcamp has such an incredible variety. I mean, they've got experimental stuff. They've got, obviously, you know, they've got the hip hop, they've got jazz, and they've got noisy stuff, and just it's extremely diverse. Which,
it's pretty amazing. I mean, just millions of tunes on there, you know, just all kinds. And the world music on there is great.
Right.
And it's really, I need to have more time to really kind of delve into it more. I kind of just find stuff a bit kind of like stumbling over stuff. I mean, I check kind of new music every Friday morning kind of. How else do I find music? I mean, sometimes with Bandcamp, they send me emails and, what else is the, like, actually, you know what? I hate to plug them, but the Sirius XMU station, I hear a lot. That's like the one kind of rock station that I can actually listen to. I mean, I don't like all the stuff that they have on there, but, you know, they were playing, you know, the first tracks of the new Rolling Blackouts. And I think that's where I heard Mama. And they even have an online one that's even more, it's called Discovery. And so it's all just new music. So it's all songs that have come out like in the last month, basically, which is really fun because it's just this kind of, a lot of it I don't like, but at least half of it I like, which is kind of fun. And then they do like, then on the regular channel, they'll do like an old school show. And then they, every night they have a different blogger. So I kind of, that's a lot of times when I find new music is through the blog guys, you know, too. So, and a lot of it, again, you know, like, you know, take or leave some of it, but then there's, can find some real gems. So that's fun. That was you didn't take me up on the offer of Tootard. Right? That's how I found that band. Tootard. Oh. I was like, oh, someone just stole the best band name in the world.
I don't think I ever got around to listening to that. Right? Yeah. I mean,
Like goofy, not goofy, I shouldn't say that. Interesting, almost like contemporary Middle Eastern electronic music.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's from Lebanon. And anyway, you can kind of stumble on some fun stuff, both on Bandcamp or other places. But, there's another artist from Lebanon that I've been listening to that I really like. I think she's only like 16. I think she was 15 when her stuff came out last year.
Oh, wow.
It's called Japan, The Man. And it's pretty good. I mean, especially for a young woman, you know, it's like, I mean, not especially, but for someone that's 15, gosh, I mean, I can barely put my clothes on at 15. So much less make an album. So
yeah.
Yeah. There's just, I mean, it's a world of fun to find. So go for it, people.
Yeah. As many sources as you can have. I mean, it's, I actually like it when I can't remember where I learned about something. Cause if that means that I've been like reading and exploring in a lot of different places. So,
Exactly. Yep. That's good.
Yeah. And then sometimes, obviously, there's just like things that are just big in the indie rock world, and we like talking about them if we like it, of course. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's even been a lot of kind of big stuff come out lately, but we haven't even had either time, or it didn't hit us right, or didn't have time to talk about it. I mean, even this week there was tons of good stuff coming out. I mean, I think that whole Karunga Bin album came out this week, and gosh, what else? I mean, Pottery album I think came out this week, and I really love that new Salt album. It's not really indie rock, but I think it's pretty amazing. So it's super fun.
Cool. Lots of music out there. We're gonna play some more of it now. Let's go to the indie rock veterans, right? No Age, aren't they indie rock veterans by now? They've been around quite a while.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've like kind of like 15 years or something?
Yeah,
like
that's 10, what I
10 or 15 years or something.
I looked up the Wikipedia page, which is where you learn about everything in the world, right?
Exactly.
It says years active 2005 to the present. So they've been around 15 years, and it's two guys, and there's a band format, right? Drummer and guitar player, two-person band. There's exactly four bands that fit that description, right?
Right, yeah.
No Age.
Let me see. Isn't Japan Droids like that?
Yep.
Right?
And then there's two more famous ones, of course.
Oh, gosh, right. I'm drawing a blank.
The White Stripes and the Black Keys. Yes.
And what was the last one?
The Black Keys.
Oh, right.
Who I don't like too much. But, you know, right? That's the four bands I can think of that have this setup. And
yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that before.
It seems like with No Age that every time they come out with an album, I listen to it and I say, man, that's pretty good. That's like better than I thought it was going to be. And it happened again. And then you mentioned it too. So it's like, well, we've both been listening to it. Both seem to be pretty positive on it. So we should talk about it. Goons Be Gone is what it's called. So if you'd like to make the first pick from this one, that'd be great.
Yeah, this is kind of right up your alley. Or almost all of these albums are, you know, kind of short and sweet. 11 songs, 33 minutes.
Yeah.
And just how can you like drum and sing at the same time? That seems difficult, right? I wonder if how many of those four bands is the singer, is the drummer at the same time? Yeah.
Now that one I'm gonna not be able to.
It's another level.
We know that Meg White is not the singer. We know that much.
And she's almost not the drummer.
Yeah, right. That whole story is it's crazy,
like,
isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's not very nice. But yeah, so these guys are like, I think they're what, from LA? And
yeah.
I actually listened to, because I had never listened to their previous band called Wives, and that's pretty interesting. It's like a total like hardcore, like almost noise rock. I mean, they're calling even new age, I mean, No Age noise rock, which to me, it doesn't really sound like noise rock to me, but their old band was like, whoa, this is like really experimental and very like kind of hardcore, which is kind of interesting. And, but yeah, this one is like, what is this one? This one, I mean, it's kind of like what fun guitar rock, piles of noise and what else is going on. There's like some soft sounds, kind of more experimental electronic stuff mixed with kind of guitar stuff. And so it's got a wide, you know, variety of stuff on it. And but I like most of it, almost all of it. It's really hit me. Let's try number five, War Dance.
We'll be right back.
I think we can say that's rockin', right?
Yeah, definitely rockin'. And yeah, that what, like punchy drums and kind of stressed singing, almost yelling, stressed singing.
Yeah.
But kind of like mixed in the background much more than like Rolling Blackouts. Because, you know, their vocals are more up front. Like this is kind of like coming, sounds like he's like yelling from behind the drums or something.
Right. But, right. Yeah, I kind of like that effect with the right band, of course, having the vocals kind of low so that it sounds like the guy is straining to match the guitars.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The guitar
it's pretty overload, fun.
The tsunami of guitars.
Yeah. So
they make a lot of noise and make it, I mean, with two people, I mean, goodness.
Yeah.
It sounds like a bunch more than that, but I'm sure they mix some stuff in, but still.
They probably do what Japan Droids, I know, does, and the guitar player, well, I think I've seen the Black Keys do the same thing. So I think when you just have two people and you need more dynamics out of the guitar, you plug the guitar into two amps at the same mm-hmm. time, or you even could be more than two. But you know, then you have one that's kind of bassier, so you can get a broader, fuller sound. So I wouldn't be surprised
that
if
makes
they
sense.
Do that.
Yeah, or even loop it, maybe. I mean, I've seen some people do that where they kind of, before this song, they'll like do it where it's only in their monitor. And they kind of do a strum or something, and then it's looping, and then they mm-hmm. then they start playing guitar, and then they have something like kind of two sounds going at the same time. But
if we were actually good at music journalism, we would have the whole gear set up and the pedal board and everything, and we'd know all about that. And we'd talk about all the details.
Yeah, exactly. All the different pedals and the MIDI this and the that. And yeah, oh my gosh.
Right. So I would say that the majority are kind of rocking like mm-hmm. that one. One that grabbed me was kind of a bit of a departure for them, I think, but I really like it. It's kind of atmospheric sounding. That's number three, Smoothie. That's No Age, Indie Rock Veterans. This is their sixth album, I just determined by looking at Wikipedia. And it's called Goons Be Gone. Pretty
solid.
That's
a good one. Yeah, they've been really prolific. And that was kind of, I love that, just the mixture of like the kind of faster, punchy songs and then kind of more mellow, introspective, like you're saying. Number nine's kind of like that, where it starts almost like electronic or kind of strange ambient distorted voices and kind of then really kicks in, you know. So they have an interesting mix. I like it a lot.
Let's play one more. Do you have an idea?
Well, yeah, what do you think? Either I liked both 7, Turn to String, or 9, Puzzled. Those are both interesting.
I think I had Turn to String on my short list.
Cool, let's do it.
No Age. Yep.
Yeah, that was rocking.
Yep.
Another good one. Boy, we're hitting like what? We're like already 6 for 6 on that.
I think so. Yep. We're keeping it rocking. So this is breaking news. We are this is incredible. Jeremiah has procured us an interview with Randy from No Age. Hi, Randy.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thanks, man. For thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the awesome music.
For sure, man. Thanks. Thanks for talking about the band and talking about good music.
Yeah. So your new album came up on our list of music to talk about this week. And then just so happened that Jeremiah got in touch with you. Oh, we have a video here, and there's a special guest with Randy.
He's very curious about what we're doing. This is my son, Wilson. Right. Yeah. He just turned one. Sorry for interrupting. He decided he didn't want to play with the rock and wanted to see what was going on my phone. He's very curious about this phone.
Cool, yeah. Well, who are those two weird guys on the phone?
Yeah. Okay, right. Now he's going back to the rock. He got bored.
Bodyguard.
Yeah. So here's a question we can ask. Does this now mean that your music is dad rock?
I wouldn't classify it as such. However, you know, technically, I suppose if being a father is the only qualifying factor, then yes. I've been making dad rock for about 6 years. I have a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old, and Dean has a 3-year-old. I like some dad rock music. I'm not against Thin Lizzy and Neil Young. I think that's some quintessential dad rock right there.
Definitely, yeah. That's so funny because that was one of my questions. Is like, do you have kids? And if so, like, what do you think the experience of being a father? How does that has that impacted or influenced your music?
Yeah, I don't think there's necessarily a one-to-one correlation with it. I think there's a bigger kind of life view that changes, you know. I don't know if you guys have kids.
Totally.
Yeah, yes. I feel a little bit more urgency for certain things and more relaxed about other things, you know. There's there's definitely, I feel like, I was talking to my wife about it, I feel like time almost stretches out more in both directions. Like, I think more about my time when I was a kid to try to compare, you know, what's it like for these guys. And I also think a lot more about what it's like going to be like in the future, you know, when I see my parents. Like, all right, I'm going to turn into those people. I can see it happening before my eyes.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a more kind of expanse in both directions. I think I spend more time. And then there's flashes of being very present, you know, right? Having to be very necessary in your body right now at the moment, you know? So it's a funny thing. I definitely, there's not as much youthful abandon maybe in my day-to-day life. I don't know if that comes across musically or not. Maybe that then I push more of that in the music since I don't have as many exciting adventures in my day-to-day life. I don't know. I'm just it's all armchair psychology at this point. I don't really know how it works, but I feel like the music has still been a great avenue for expression and outlet.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, yeah, kids add so much, you know, dynamism to your life, whether, you know, unexpected joys and pains and everything. So it's, yeah, it's really cool that, to see like rockers having families too,
yeah,
you
sure.
know, and it's really cool.
So maybe we can talk about your new album a little bit.
Yeah.
One of the things, and we recorded a segment and talked about the album and played three snippets of tracks. And one of the things that I was saying that I observed about it is that somehow you guys, every time you come out with a new album, it sounds fresh and new and different. And I'm wondering how you do that. How do you keep it fresh?
Well, I think for us it's really fun. Dean and I sort of come from different places sometimes musically. But it's fun when we get together. I think we challenge each other and bring something different to the table when we go to write. So I think that's one way to kind of keep it fresh, is we're always sort of, you know, pushing each other's buttons and you know, bringing something new to the table. And then also on this record, Goons Be Gone, we recorded it all ourselves, which is our first time doing that. We've always had been heavily involved in the studio, but this time we really, you know, hands on, literally, you know, put all the microphones up, recorded every take. Here we go. So it was fun. I feel like this was definitely the closest record to getting the sound we had in our head on record that we've ever done.
Yeah, and it's the dynamics of it are amazing, and I think it's nothing new to you. Having been making these incredible guitar sounds for
can you hear me?
Yeah,
sorry, you guys cut out on that. Yeah, the dynamics. Yeah, I mean, we've always had that kind of ambient and then the big explosive stuff. So I feel like, yeah, there's definitely elements in that in this record. We also got a little bit funnier with Dean's sampler. Is like sampling stuff, like on the song Smoothie, is a lot more kind of like bass notes sampled, and even that Working Stiff Takes a Break, there's some saxophone stuff in there. I think we were just really having fun with this and not so worried about making it a rock record or making it a live record or making it any kind of record that we could think about. We were just kind of, let's just make songs. Let's just make songs we like.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Because it does, a lot of your music on a lot of your albums, you know, kind of oscillates between, like you said, the more ambient and instrumental, and then the kind of guitar heavy rock. And is like one of the genres more like your taste compared to Dean's, or is it like you both kind of like that fusion, and or do you kind of, like you said, kind of push each other's buttons and kind of get each other going with different types of stuff?
Yeah. I think what's funny is we're both fans of what the other one does, but we can't necessarily do it ourselves. Meaning I think I'm in charge of a lot more of the ambient sort of melodic, sort of hazy, shoegazy layering stuff. But I know that Dean likes it. But he'll call out stuff and be like, oh yeah, no, more of this, or I like it when it does that. And so he'll kind of help me edit, because I could kind of just, you know, I could release a 6-hour and stuff I like to make, but I don't necessarily know how to edit it all down and know how to package it onto a, you know, 30-minute record. And then in terms of the rocking stuff, Dean definitely, you know, as a drummer, just kind of has a sense of rhythm and propulsion and stuff, and I'm always stoked. But I think same thing, I kind of can help, like, oh yeah, this role or this thing, you know, I think we kind of help edit each other and what we do.
Yeah, I think we touched on this a little in our previous recording, but I think Jeremiah was commenting on how he thinks it's amazing how a person can drum and sing at the same time. And he can really do it.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like with the breathing and everything, all the physicality of it, it just seems like to be able to sing and not sound like you're like breathing heavy or something. It's a skill, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, he's been doing it a while, but he's definitely not the first. Yeah. I think he's proud of a lineage of, Phil Collins, Don Henley, Grant Hart, I think would probably be the closest genre wise to what Dean does.
Yeah.
And then, back to Levon from the band. There's lots of, if you look at it on the face of it, there's a lot of great singers, but who've also played drums. Dave Grohl, another one. But you kind of look at where they're at and where they've usually moved around or gotten up to the front of the stage at some point. But I think the singing drummer, even I would put in Jay Maskus in that category as well as a drummer and a singer. There's something about knowing kind of how to place a lyric and how to sort of phrase something that's rhythmic as well as kind of the melody and not cramming in too many words.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great mix. Yeah, and with your how do you guys put together songs or your songwriting? Is it different all the time, or is it like you kind of come up with like a guitar riff and then he kind of layers it in, or is it kind of shared?
It changes song by song. I mean, a lot of times it usually just starts with the two of us just getting in the room together, and I'll pick up a guitar, he'll sit at the drums, and we'll do something, and then we'll kind of layer in all kinds of other sounds and other feels and vibes to it. It's a mixed bag. I think this record was really nice because we just kind of had the microphone set up in our studio and just would record everything like we would normally do, like a demo, we used to do with a boombox. You just hit record and then everybody starts playing, but now this time we have full blown kind of Pro Tools set up with nice mics set up. So we've captured a lot of those ideas and then go through and edit and revise them.
That's so great. Sounds like a fun, really creative process. So.
Yeah.
The dynamics in your sound are amazing. And I know I've seen the videos where you must have like 20 guitar pedals or something and multiple amps too, right?
I have a whole, I usually run three or four amps on stage and then have a little computer rig down there at my feet with everything. But it's fun. I've kind of worked at paring it down a little bit over the years to kind of just make it easier to fly and travel with. But the idea of basic buying all that is just to get the sound of a 5-piece band out of two people. We usually trigger a lot of samples live, and sampling is a big part of our sound. Like we'll have days where sometimes we'll be right in a songwriting mood, and some days we just make just weird sounds. We're just kind of in an experimental mood, and we'll just record them as loops and different layers to be used later. And then we'll write something that maybe is a fairly straightforward rock song, and then it's like, oh well, that's in the key of A, or it goes modulates into A for the chorus. Like, well, let's see what I have, and I can kind of recall like what I made and what key it's in. Or sometimes put them in harmony with other notes and things. So it's a fun way of kind of just melding two minds and hopefully presenting something that's greater than the whole when we on record and live. We can kind of, people will say, how do you make all those sounds? It's like, well, very, very carefully. But also wildly and with abandon sometimes too. Like, oh, that was just a mistake. I thought I was going to hit this sample, but I hit that one, and it actually sounded way better.
Nice.
So if you're in
a lot of fun to it all. And
when you're in a studio, you can just experiment all you want, right? But then my question is, how do you duplicate it live if you've, do you have to sort of start from scratch sometimes to duplicate the sound that you made in the studio?
Sometimes, with the record and object that we made a couple of years ago, that one we basically had to reimagine the whole record and rewrite every song to present it live. That one was a heavily kind of studio experimental record with Dean playing bass and with contact mics on drums. And there was definitely some, I built a few things for Dean to sort of play live, and we tried a lot of stuff, but I think we've kind of pared it down now to where I carry three samplers, like in the form of this like loop pedal, these like little stereo loop pedals. And then Dean has two samplers. So we have like five other channels on our pedal boards or behind us that are also just playing pre-recorded loops that we've made ourselves. So a lot of times we say we sample ourselves, meaning we're not sampling, Motown records. We're playing sounds in the studio, and then we'll capture those and then trigger them live. We don't play to click tracks or anything, so there's an element of haphazardness that'll happen live. But we try to do our best, you know, a lot of times our practices are just, you know, we run through the songs and make sure we're triggering samples correctly. And that, you know, we try to almost break it, you know, do it enough times, like speed up, slow down, like how far can the variation go before the loop just sounds bad, and try to, you know, break that a little bit to make sure that, like, okay, here's what we can do, because then make sure it works live. There's a song we have, Fever Dreaming, that was on Everything in Between, and the main sort of chorus samples is big, like, almost kind of screeching sound of feedback from it was originated as feedback from guitar, but now Dean triggers it on a sample. It's like, this is really loud. And we always need those loud on stage. We need them really loud in our monitors so we can hear, so we know where we're at in the song, or just, so, you know, we know where we're, cause that's to compete with the guitars coming off of the stage. We need them loud back in the monitors. So it'll come time to check that. And inevitably every night, like the whole bar staff or whoever's in the venue just kind of stops. I'm like, what is this? What did we get ourselves into? But then you play, and then we play the whole song. Individually, the things sound like a mess and kind of, you know, like you would never want to hear that sound ever again. It's the worst car alarm you've ever heard. But then you play the song and it folds in kind of nicely. It kind of creates a melody that you find yourself whistling by the end of it. So I'm proud of those kind of juxtapositions and strange things. I think early on, Dean and I talked about, you know, how can we make the best pop song out of the worst elements, out of the worst sounds there are? You know, if we were to take machine metal music and turn it into Pet Sounds, what would that be? These are some of our early experiments, or just conceptual challenges to ourselves when we started the band. And I think that, you know, we don't hold dear to that on every composition, but I think there's a strain of that just in our DNA as a band.
Yeah, it sounds like a really fun creative process, you know, and just like having it be slightly different each time, you know, and can mix it up. That's super fun. And I can't wait to see you guys live. I mean, gosh, what do you think of this current situation and what does it mean for you guys? And what does it mean, do you think, for the more broad scale music industry?
Well, yeah, for us personally, we're broke, you know, without playing shows, there's like no money coming in.
Yeah.
So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that it's safe, you know, when it's safe to go play shows, that we're able to stay busy and play a bunch of as many shows as we can.
Totally.
One,
yeah.
Because we want to play, because that's the artists today make money. It's not through record sales or Spotify streams. So, we're hoping to play live. And I know everybody's anxious to get out there, but everyone wants to be safe and no one wants to put themselves or anyone else in danger.
Yeah, totally. And we always encourage people to go out there and buy on Bandcamp or it's most as direct as possible to the artist, you know, to especially during this time, you know, when, like you said, like people, you just don't have any touring money coming in. So hopefully that changes soon. Hopefully we can kind of start taking this seriously and things, you know, the pandemic, and hopefully it'll kind of start cooling off, because we're kind of on a rise right now. So, but we, you know, for me, like selfishly, that's been a huge bummer, you know, this year, just as no live music is, like, that's one of my main hobbies, seeing two or three shows a week kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
So, and then, yeah, but I can't even imagine it, you know, having it be connected to, you know, my finances or any, you know what I mean? So it's like, I just hope that you guys, everyone can hang tough with this and just everyone go out there and buy No Age music on Bandcamp.
Bandcamp has been great. They really help. They've been doing those events where every other Friday the first Friday of every month, they waive their commission to kind of help give back to the artists. So that's been really good. We got to be creative I do miss playing music. I've been doing things on our Instagram where I would just kind of do song breakdowns. I found myself just not playing, having not played some of these songs, you know, for 3 weeks or a month. Like, I'd never gone that long without playing these songs. So I started practicing them, and then I, you know, just to keep the muscle memory up. And I was like, oh, I should take this online and just kind of share how these songs are played. So I put a lot of them up on YouTube and also on our Instagram TV stories. So it's kind of fun. It's fun to just kind of walk through the songs, and I've gotten a great response from people. But to me, it's like, oh yeah, this is, some of these songs are like breathing. I've just played them so many times. But to kind of have to sit down and break it down and share it with people has been really fun to do.
Yeah, they can learn the notes, but they can never duplicate your pedal board, right?
Well, or vice versa. You probably could duplicate the pedal board. You know, you just got to have a couple $100 and a guitar center close by.
You have to learn how to operate it, though.
Yeah, operating. I think it's, it's always fun. I know, and I, at first I was kind of shy about doing it. I was like, oh, man, like, I'm not that kind of a guitar player. I'm not somebody who's going to give a guitar tutorial that anyone's going to be that impressed with. But after I did it, and a few people, even friends, to kind of chime in, they're like, you know, it's really cool. Like, it doesn't, like you said, you know, but even showing how to play a power chord, if you're somebody who's just getting started or curious even how songs are played, you know, just learning some basic kind of power chord for the punk, you know, sort of modes of playing guitar, and being able to play melody and rhythm at the same time, you know, is a very Pete Townsend-y kind of thing. But but it's fun. I was surprised people kind of took to it, like, oh, it is sort of different. I'm like, oh, all right, I'll take it. But the pedal board, the pedal board's a whole other fun thing. It's kind of a big, but even that, I've always been really happy at the end of shows if when kids come up or people come up and want to talk about pedals. It's like, oh yeah, these aren't secrets. You know, I didn't invent any of these pedals. I'm not Ollie from, you know, Place to Bury Strangers, you know, designs all of his pedals. Like, I'm just buying these things off the shelf like anybody else can. So to give any kind of tips of which one to put in front of the other one and which settings I like, it's super fun and easy to do. I'm always happy to nerd out about gear because I'll learn from other people too what they use.
That's so great. Well, thanks so much. We really appreciate your time and just taking a little bit of your, you know, just giving a little insight to the band, and congrats on the new album. We love it. And people, go buy it on Bandcamp, and hopefully and the we'll vinyl, get to see the vinyl's you guys live soon.
For sure, yeah. And the vinyl just, the plant's just open. So the vinyl is actually in the warehouse at Drag City. So if anybody wants physical copies, we were lucky enough to only be a few weeks behind street date. So we got plenty of vinyl, CDs, and tapes in the warehouse at Drag City in Chicago. So
great.
Go online and check out Drag City. And also, you know, they're such an awesome label and have tons of other great music on there too. I know Bill Callahan, Smog, has a new record coming out. And they have so many great records. Go buy the whole U.S. Maple back catalog while you're there.
Yeah, totally.
Fantastic. Great label. Well, I hope you get through this terrible coronavirus thing and get back playing live shows, and hope you guys keep going for a long time.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. That means a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's a funny time to be doing this stuff, but I feel like art and expression and music, you know, is more important, is now, you know, important than ever. It's kind of helped share these stories and pass along a good message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, great. Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah, take care, you guys. Thanks so much for doing it.
Cheers. Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Well, should we move on to our fun new band we're going to introduce the listeners to?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh my gosh.
So you just sent a list of things. Hey, this is some good stuff I've been listening to. So I was sampling it, and this one called Mama. I had never heard of them. And I thought, you know, you were saying something like, well, it's kind of right in the zone of, you know, indie rock stuff that we tend to like. And I guess it's not surprising. I immediately liked it, but then, you know, it stood the test of three or four listens, and I really got into it.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a pretty solid album. It's like, gosh, and I just, you know, it's short songs, you know, little 30 minutes or something and 10 songs. And it's kind of like broody grunge. It's a good, fun, broody grunge romp, right? That's kind of what it is, right?
Yeah, I think.
And they kind of like sing together and kind of some melodies. And yeah, it's really, I think I like it a lot.
So this will probably completely backfire, but let's do the thing where we predict which other podcasters should like this. I'm kind of thinking
this?
This ought to be a pretty good David and Chris album, right? I think
that's what I was thinking. Yep. I was thinking, Chris and David, I would think.
Unless it veers too much towards snail mail, then Chris won't like it. I don't think it's really guitar wise. It's got some of that, maybe similar sound, but vocal wise, definitely not. So, anyway, Mama, the album is Two of Me. And, as I mentioned, you're the podcast discoverer of this album. So, what do you think we should play first?
Yeah, gosh. Well, it's got a lot of it's kind of got a lot of diversity as well, you know. And I just love that they're like another amazing, you know, amazingly talented and motivated young women pursuing their passion and are good at what they do. And I mean, they're still in college, is from what I read. Like they're and in different cities, so they're kind of like get together on breaks or like send each other tracks back and forth. So they actually recorded this like while not being together most of the time. It's pretty amazing. There's just, you know, there's some diversity, and we'll listen to a couple songs, and then I have another band that I think that they kind of sound like, and so maybe I wonder if you can guess what I'm thinking, but okay. Let's maybe try start with number two, Biohazard.
That's Mama, and there's a lot of good guitar work on this album, isn't there?
Yeah, it's fun. I think they both play guitar, and I haven't really watched any live shows or anything, but I think that's they're both play guitar, and just fun, you know, fun, kind of what it's kind of youth, that kind of it has that feeling of like youthful kind of. Like not depression, but like a little downer,
a little bit of angst.
You're young, kind of like, you know, that feeling when you're kind of in, you know, high school or college of like, you know, that can kind of play through some of this music. So, or broody, maybe that's it or something like that. It's kind of like, but in a delightful way, right? It's kind of like,
yeah, I think
both.
So.
It has a both things. Yeah. So. I like it. It's a pretty good album, I think. It's pretty solid for
yeah.
It's their second, right? Second album?
Well, since I only just heard of them, I'll believe you. I'm going to pick one that's rocking, so people might want to crank up the volume because this one's rocking. Number three, Derby.
Revved up on me.
Once again, true to form, we did not play the whole song, but it is it is a minute 47. So there you go.
That's like, a good one.
Straight to the point, rocking. Yeah, and a little, like you said, it's a little brooding kind of, but combining that with the rocking nature of it, it's pretty cool.
Definitely. So what do you think, what was the other band I was thinking they might kind of sound like, remind you of?
I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm just going to, you tell me, and then I'll tell you whether I think it makes sense.
Well, often my ear's off too, but especially I think maybe the one I played reminds me kind of some older Chastity Belt stuff.
Oh, no, I didn't think of that because I think I was focusing more on the rockin' nature of it. But,
right, exactly. Maybe some of their slower songs that are, you know, kind of more.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, fuzzy kind of. Yeah. So check that out next time you listen to it.
The band is Mama. The album is called Two of Me. And what are we going to play next?
I wonder. Should we pick the, I think the one that I've heard actually played by on a blog or something. Is number 5, Double Dare.
All right, let's go with that one. That's Mama. And
there we go, Mama.
Yeah, it's a catchy one too. And I can
That one's like kind of mellower, right? It's more kind of melodic and I think it's a pretty solid entry to the, you know, to the music scene, you know. So Etta Friedman and Allegra Weingarten, keep it up, young ladies.
Keep on rocking. Yeah, and yep. I guess it speaks to the consistency of the album. There are two more that I had in the queue, you know, that I could have played that I think are really good. So and the first track is really good too, so I'm not even counting that one. So
that first one, Bug House or whatever I think it's called.
Yeah,
that's
so
a good one.
If you liked our selections at all, it's definitely worth checking out the whole thing. So very fun. It's really good when I've got this big list of things I've been listening to. I'm like, well, maybe we should talk about this or whatever, and then you come up with this one out of the, what do we call it, out of thin air, I don't know, whatever, where I had not heard of it. It was great. So really fun.
Good deal. Yes. So, and everyone support these artists. Let's keep them afloat so they can keep going and they don't have to start working at the IRS or something.
Right. IRS collector.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man. Yeah. This would be not a good time to be working in like bill collection, right? I mean, right. It'd be so depressing because, you know, you'd be like, you have to like try to get people to pay bills and they'd be like, well, like, you know, I got laid off. And it would just be so, it'd just be sad and be terrible already, but now it seems like it'd be even worse. So
yeah, that would be a tough job. I don't know. Or maybe some people just revel in it, but for me
yeah,
that would
I hope
be a,
not.
I,
yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, me either. Well, all right.
Probably, I wonder if there's like a demographic, right? There's not, because you guys are all so nice in the Midwest that there's probably like no bill collectors in the Midwest, right? So they like get them all from like what, New York?
No, we definitely have bill collectors.
Oh, no, I'm joking.
I had now, one. I had one come after me about 2 years ago. God, what was I trying to do? Maybe it was when I had to guarantee my son's lease. It might have been that. They found this unpaid bill. And so the bill collector was like, I'm like, well, I don't recall ever getting this bill. Why do I have this? Somehow this bill I didn't know about for $60 got turned over to collections. And so I was like, well, I need to get to sign this lease for my son. And, you know, it's kind of important, you know? So how can I pay this? Can I pay it by credit card? And then they said, well, if you pay it by credit card, it takes like 5 days to process. So right. It's like, well, yeah, I kind of like we're trying to sign this lease, you know? And, so I said, well, what are my options? What can I do? You know, can I just pay cash? They're like, okay, you can drive to our office on the other side of town and bring cash. And that's what I had to do. I had to drive to the bill collector's office and pay cash. There's an exciting story. Everybody's thinking like, why did he even bother to say that on the podcast? It is not interesting at all. So,
right. That's so 19th century. That's the way it goes. We need something that's immediate because even bank transfers, it takes a day or two. Right. So we need, I mean, even in Africa, they've had like a, you know, you just pay by phone for like 10 years now or 12 years. Like, and you just like, you just send someone 50 cents or a dollar or $200 on their phone. And then because banks are so far and wide apart, you know, and traveling is difficult. It's like, really? We can't do that. But I'm sure it's just the credit card companies have a lockdown on it or something, you know.
What about when you have, I'm sure you've had this experience, you unsubscribe to some email list and it says, usually it says you're now unsubscribed, but sometimes it says, we'll be able to process this in the next 4 to 5 days or something like that. Wait a minute. I just pressed a button. It's all electronic, right? Yeah. If you press a button, it should take a hundredth of a second, not 4 to 5 days.
Or they ask you like 5 times or they kind of like trick the wording. It's like, do you want to opt out or not? And then you have to kind of read like, was opting out mean?
Yeah,
like opting out of unsubscribing, or is it opting out?
Right,
of
right. Or the email? Button, the like, the red.
Like, can I just not get? Can you stop bothering me, please?
The red button that you're supposed to click on that you think is the unsubscribe is the resubscribe. I've seen it when it does that.
And then even when you unsubscribe, a lot of times you still get them. It's like it's like when you call for the do not call list. You know that. On the phone, you know, and it's like they still call you. You're like, and it's supposed to be, you know, that they're going to get a fine or something if they call you, but it's like not enforced, right? So maybe we need more people, less people making indie rock music and more people working for the do not call, government do not call list, right?
Yeah. No, your job could be, your job could be unsubscriber. You get hired by the company to unsubscribe people in a professional manner.
I'd put up with spam calls and solicitors and have more indie music. Actually, that's I don't think I'll take that back. What I said a few minutes ago.
Okay, well over $0. I think, you know, like you suggested earlier, we might have hit a dollar. I mean, I think it's possible.
Yeah, I would think we're at least in 70 or 80 cent range.
Yeah, it feels that way to me. So
even without another amazing podcast person, so.
Right? I mean, think of the lineup that we've got. Think of the strong bench that we have. The people just sitting, waiting to get in the game. The caliber of it is incredible.
I think that they heard that in one of our internal comments or emails that we weren't going to be wearing masks. And I think they were afraid or something. They might have been.
Yeah.
They thought that we were maybe going do the podcast without a mask and they go straight to like a Trump rally or something. So maybe they just scared them off.
Yeah. Yeah. It, maybe it'll turn out that the droplets can go through the computer screen to the other person. Hopefully not. But, okay. Right. Well, thank you, Jeremiah. I know that you've been really busy and I'm glad you found some time to do this. And, yeah, let's talk again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Gosh, yeah, I won't let it be so long next time, hopefully. So let's keep it going. At least there's a lot of good music. That's one positive thing this year.
Yeah, do you think it'll...
piles of unpositive things, at least there's some good music.
Do you think there'll be like a decrease in the number of new releases? I mean, I wonder if people are... I mean, I've heard about people delaying releases and or sometimes they release things early, just the timing's been affected by this. But I wonder if recording has been affected too. You think it might have been, right? Yeah. Because bands can't get together maybe or maybe, you know, they're laid off of their day jobs and can't afford the studio time or whatever, or who knows? But hopefully they'll keep
more time on their hands, they're making more music, so it's kinda hard to know.
So we can only hope the releases keep coming, but right now part of it's probably because we did all those end of year specials or end of decade specials. So when we did all those, we were racking up a bunch of music. So I still haven't right, caught exactly. up. So that's good. So all right.
By the way, I love your shirt.
Oh, you can see it.
Nice one. Good. Yeah. Porridge Radio.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this shirt. It was nice. A long road getting the shirt.
You see mine?
Yeah. So Jeremiah's sporting a Frankie Cosmos shirt. So that's
very
cool.
There we go.
Yeah.
Aging rockers.
It's good to wear an indie rock shirt when you're doing indie rock podcasting. It gets you in the right mood, right?
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. You can almost imagine that you're waiting in line to go to a show.
I don't know. I've pretty much forgotten what that's like now.
Oh, goodness sakes. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, have an awesome week and everybody be healthy, be safe, wear your mask and listen and support good indie music.
Absolutely. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.